Let's begin. We're up to Perek Mem Dal, the Pasuk Chaf Ches. Okay, again, Perek Mem Dal, Pasuk Chaf Ches. V'hoysu lohem l'nachala. We are continuing to mention. Okay, now it's on. Okay, we are continuing to mention the laws of the Kehanim. The laws of the Kehanim. What will be the situation when Mashiach comes? The Bayis Shlishi. What will be the status of the Kohanim? We discussed many times. Are we referring to the Kohanim Gedolim? Are we referring to the Kohanim Hayyotis? There are different opinions, back and forth, the Malbim, the Radak, the Tzudos and Rashi. Now we're coming down to one of the last ideas, so we have a few more ideas to the end of the Perek, that it will be for them Lanachla. What's a Nachla? The Nachla here is not the land. The land will be discussed in the next Perek. The Nachla here refers to the Korbanos. The Korbanos that the Kohanim offer in the Beis HaMikdash, that is their Nachala. That is their inheritance, which means it's the food. First, they get to eat. And more importantly, it's their avoid, it's their service. Ani nachalosam, I am their nachala. Vachuzolo titnu lohem b'Yisrael. They will receive no land b'Yisrael. Ani achuzosam, I am their achuza. I am, a very beautiful pasuk, is that Hashem is the achuza of the Kohanim. This pasuk is a very, very amazing pasuk. A lot of ideas that we can be taught over here. Let's start with the pasuk chas in the Mitzudos Tavid. Vahislam lenachla, hakohuna tielam lenachem, the kohuna. For these individuals, the kohun, the fact they're kohanim, that is their nachla. Ki lo yinchalu chelik baretz, because the kohanim will not receive, when Mashiach comes, a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. They will not have any real estate. Ani nachalasam, is in Lamar, moisar korboni, iye nachalasam. The leftover of the korbanos, which means they get to eat. When the kohen does avoida, so he goes, when the kohen does avoida, so he brings a korban. I mean, he brings the korbanos for the people, and he gets to eat the kodesh kodashim, or eaten by the kohanim. We learned the Beis HaMikdash, the architecture of the Beis HaMikdash. We learned in these big, massive chambers. One of the primary purposes, when we see at the end of the sefer again, is for there's a dining room for the kohanim to eat kodesh kodashim. They do not own real estate. V'zehu. Why is it that they do not have any real estate? So that they should have time to be busy in avodas hamigdash. And this that it says they took trumas haaretz, that's going to be taught later on. What does that refer to? That's for the private homes. That we have to see later on. Perek Mem Ches, the very end. That they will have places to live. The Torah, what?
Asanas?
Was
that what was the Yerkahana? You mean Anasas?
Anasas, right? No. They were actually 24 cities. 24 right. Cities. Okay, so okay, you're right. That was in the Bayit Sheni. The Bayit Sheni, and those were cities for Kohanim, right? Okay, so that in the Hanami, they will have cities to live in, but that's only to live for living purposes, but not for cultivation. Here it says they do not have any lands for farming, no orchards, no field.
Agriculture.
They will have, when it says later on, because they have assets, those assets are just for living. And why? So they should be penuyim la'asoik va'avoidas hamigdash. They should be free to learn Torah avoid. See, I see this today by a lot of people. Today we live in a generation where everyone is striving for both. Torah gedula b'mokim echad. You learn, everyone here thinks, what does he do? Well, first in the morning he learns. He learns in the koilo. He learns in the Beis Medrash. He learns in yeshiva. And the second half of the day, what does he do? Real estate. He's in business. He runs a business, a family business. His wife runs it, so he goes in there. I always hear this. Everyone today like this, like the goal. The goal is they should be recognized as a very big Talmud Chacham, and they should also be rich. They should have rich. The truth is, you have nothing when you do that approach. Koreach mikan v'koreach mikan. If half the day you're in business for real business, some people make believe business, they don't have any real business, they just make believe. But people that really have what to do, the whole first Seder, the whole morning, they're on cell phone. I hear in the morning, but sometimes I come at the tail end to a certain place, and there are some people like that. If you're in business, There's no learning. Come on. If you have a real business and real business, the whole done that you're spinning, singing, bass manage, you know, nonstop, I can prove it. Look around over here. Okay, so. Likewise, if someone, I know myself, if you're learning, if you have a real parnasa, you cannot succeed unless you put roishoy v'ruboy into your parnasa. There are yechidim shav yechidim that are able to go and have double life, to have a parnasa, and at the same time sit and learn for real. It's mamish one in a million. So if you want to be matzliach in business, in parnasa, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a computer programmer, whether you're a marketer, whatever you do, you're a plumber. I don't know, maybe you'll tell me I'm wrong, but I just know for my own self. You got to be in it to win it. And to be in it to win it means the whole day. It means you don't have to, your mind is not free to develop, to sit and learn in depth. So this whole idea of people today, everyone is striving, they have both. Torah u'gedula b'mokim echad, to me, is just make-believe. You come away with nothing. You come away with nothing. And here it says the Pharisee in the Mitzudos. It says in the Mitzudos, the Kehanim, don't get any hasagis when the Bayis Shlishi is going to be rebuilt. We're going to give you land, you're going to have a home, you're going to have a chatzah, you're going to have a place to live. Oh, what do you do the whole day? Well, you do avodah. You prepare yourself to be on a spiritual level to be right doing the avodah, which means even though you're actually serving the Beis Hamikdash only 2 weeks a year, but the rest of the year they were in koila. They were in koila. They were learning. They were doing things to prepare them spiritually. Their neshama is to be on an exalted spiritual state, a frame of mind when they come to the Beis Hamikdash. It's the real deal. It's not just misafel v'lchutz. If you want to succeed, there's no time for you to occupy yourself in agriculture. I also have a kibbutz that I manage. I have tractors and I produce wine. I produce, I have vineyards. It doesn't go like that. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's a mitzis, it's a reality of this world. You can't have both. You can't have both. It's either one or the other. You try to have both, you will come away with nothing. If you'll find a person that does both for real, that's not a role model. That's one of a kind.
The wrong model.
What?
That's the wrong model.
Okay, that's not that. These are yechidim shem yechidim. Even talk about like secular education. Like the Lubavitch Rebbe, we all know Lubavitch Rebbe. He went to college. Yeah, he had an advanced degree in electrical engineering. He was an Elish Rebbe. And yet when people, he had a very broad exposure to this to secular knowledge. And yet when people came to him and they asked him, should I also open up my mind, pursue advanced degrees and widen my horizon just for the sake of knowing of secular knowledge, not necessarily for Parnassa. He told him, no. The vast majority of the documented stories, I heard this from Rabbi Kefir, he always says over, he told him explicitly no. And they would say to him, well, what about you? So he said, I'm different. He was not shy. He was putting all humility aside. He says, I'm different. I'm just different. I was blessed with a mind that they gave me the ability to have this, to be exposed and incorporate and use all of this to serve Hashem. But the average person, putting all humility aside, doesn't have this gift. And therefore, you have to be realistic. You got to be realistic. So some of these people who have it all are not role models. In the Hanami, they're successful. But they're not role models for the Hamoinam.
Who was there?
What?
Who was there at the same time as he was?
Rav Yitzchok Chudner and Yosher Salvechik. Versus Rav Chudner came later. He wasn't there at Mamish the same time. He was younger. Or Soloveitchik was at the same time as the Lubavitch Rebbe. I don't think they overlapped. I don't believe they overlapped. I don't think Rav Chudner even he didn't know well Lubavitch Rebbe. He knew him. He had correspondence with him. He disagreed with him. There were a lot of good things. Very cordial.
Yeah.
What?
They were chavrusas.
No, they weren't. They weren't chavrusas. They were not. I don't believe that's correct.
Every Wednesday night they met.
What are you talking about?
How do you know?
Lubavitch Rebbe Rav Chudner.
Yeah.
I never heard such a thing. You have to. If you want to know, it's really, really. I never. I learned Chaim Berlin many years. I still go there, down there today. And last year,
they had a decision on the board of rabbis. That's when they split up.
That was the story of Yosher Bern. That was the big split, the yeshiva world and Rav Yosher Bern Soloveitchik, is the board of rabbis when Rav Yosher Bern did not want to sign. 11 of them didn't want to sign, or 12, or 10 of them, and that whole thing was also a Maisa Satan. A Maisa Satan because I think Rav Yosher Bern was going to sign, and there's a whole, I don't remember the details. The whole thing there was a real tragic thing, and that caused a very big rift, and from there on everything split, got worse and worse. But in any event, by the way, just Derech Agav, and I learned Chaim Berlin many years, and I never saw Rav Hutner, but the whole Chaim Berlin is all in the image of Rav Hutner. I don't think anymore, I mean, they'll kill me for saying that, I think already now it's already too far away. It's already more than one generation. It's two generations, three generations, so already, it's just like any other yeshiva. It's not really, the imprint doesn't seem to be very strong. They'll kill me for saying this. I'm just telling you my observation. But okay, so I heard a lot of stories. You know, this and this and this and this. You had stories.
If they learned his farim, then
that is my marim. Rav Aaron Schechter, he should be well. He's his prime Talmud. But last year, by Aaron Rakefet, who is a Rashiva in Grus, in the YU division in Eretz Yisrael. So after giving lectures on the Lubavitcher Rebbe thank you so much. After giving lectures on Lubavitcher Rebbe for maybe 2-3 years, going to every little detail of his life, fascinating. I encourage you all to listen to every single lecture. He gave almost a whole year, or maybe a half a year, of lectures on Rav Hutner. And he says they're amazing things. I never heard these things. Fascinating insights into his life, who he was, what he was, and things I never heard before. Some things he says are not. I don't think are. He didn't know him either. Okay, so just like I didn't know him. He didn't know him. He's just doing research. I don't think everything he says, Mechilas Kavoda, is 100% accurate, because I did learn Chaim Berlin. I did see from the inside a lot of things, and I think some of the things he says are not 100%, but nevertheless, wow, fascinating insights into Rav Hutner. Okay, and probably the most fascinating thing I'm going to tell you is that when he came to America, he wanted to get a job in the seminary. He wrote a letter to the one of the heads, I forgot the name of the rest, he wanted to be a Rebbe in the seminary, in the conservative, what was it called?
JTS.
He wanted very much to get a position there. He was about 25 years old, and he didn't succeed. So he got a job in RJJ. In RJJ, where my grandfather was, probably before my grandfather came. Maybe it was at the same time. I don't know. I think he came before the war. So it was before my brother came in the 40s. So it's definitely before. He was already out. He was only for a very short time, for a year or two. And then from there he went to Chaim Berlin, which was a yeshiva that was struggling. It was struggling for survival. And
it was in the third.
It was the third. So it was all about. All right, any event, how do we get that topic? I don't even know. I don't remember anymore. I'm losing my mind. But in any event, this is what is over this sponge is telling over this idea over here, the mitzvahs. I like this mitzvahs very, very much. The mitzvahs over here, it says explicitly, the reason why they're not given any agriculture is shayu pinuyim la'asoyk ba'avoydas ha'mikdash. But they're only going to serve 2 days a year, 2 weeks a year, so you can't take vacation. Everyone today has vacation, at least 2 weeks a year. No, I mean, not everyone, but most people have vacation at least 2 weeks, so they can't go... They can't manage a kibbutz. They can't have a kibbutz and have some some side income. No, the pasuk says no, they cannot, because the average person cannot have a dual program in life. It's an amazing thing. Even in times of Mashiach, the average person, they are yechidim. Okay, we all know they are yechidim. They are, that's
no
what we got into this. What?
No multitasking.
Men cannot multitask. That's a very good point. Men and women, that's the most fundamental difference between a man and a woman. A woman can be making dinner, can be doing the laundry, she can be putting the children in a bath, she could be on the phone the entire time, and also be running a business on the side. And a man can't even do one thing straight. A man, if he has to do the laundry, he has to sit by the machine and watch it go down. Men, it's a fact. Men have have a difficulty in multitasking. And if a man multitasks, it makes him a sugar. Makes him crazy. Men think they can multitask. It's meshuggah. Women can multitask. They have this in nature. It's their nature. On the other hand, this is what the scientists say, being that men, where did Hashem make up for the fact that men cannot multitask well? Men have the ability to delve into something, the average man, with more depth than a woman. That's not a nasty thing to say, right? Hashem made each men are from Mars, women are from Venus, each one has their miles. So no, there's no multitasking over there. The men over here, the Kohanim, their role is to be in the Beis HaMikdash to prepare, and therefore they're not given any parnasa. They're not given any land to cultivate, to work, because that's going to Rav Mitzudas, it's going to take away from the ability to devote themselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam.
What about the Ari HaLevi?
Ariel Levim will exist for the Levim. That's the next part. In the next part, now that when we come to this over here in a moment, this is the Malbim or whatever you've done over here. When we come to this in a moment, is that this is going to be the fundamental difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. In the Bayis Rishon and Sheni, Levim were also not given land.
Right.
They had no, it means the whole Sheva Levi. No one had land. Everyone was Levi was supported with Maaser Rishon. They did not have land. In the Bayis Shlishi, they will. In the Bayis Shlishi, Shevet Levi, the Levim will be given land to cultivate, to work on, to produce produce. Yet that's the chiddush of this pasuk. Koyhanim still get nothing. The rules are going to change for the Levim, but the rules are not going to change for the Kohanim, but it's not going to change for the Levim.
Where do the Kohanim live?
They live in cities. They have cities. It says later in Perek Mem Ches, they have cities. They live in the cities.
Not the Ariel
No. They have special cities. It says later on, see, he actually went in the Mitzvot, he quoted it before in the parentheses. That's what he said in the parentheses.
Okay.
So they'll have that place to live, but not land to cultivate. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Chav Ches, Vayitzu Lachem HaKohuna L'Nachla, that's all he says, Tukun L'Nachla. Okay, let's point out over here in the Malbim. Okay, if you look in the Malbim, a very important Malbim, the Malbim over here says, this is exactly the point that I just made. It's said by the Malbim. In Pasuk Chav Ches, if you jump down where it says, Ani Nachala Sam, Vahuzalo Tidnulham, you have that? So you have to come jump in a few lines. Okay, let's read the whole thing already. If you can't, let's read the whole thing already. Vahuzalham Lumin Lach Lumin Chatas Vasham, Kadavashakasov, Zeyel Luchal Mikodesh Akadashim Laish, Kol Karbonab Luchal Minchasam, Uluchal Chatasam Luchal Ashmam, Vial Ze Amar, Ani Nachalasam, Yahuzalo Tidnulham, Shaaf Shahalavim, even though we're going to learn in a few moments later on. Yikhu chelek ba'aretz la'asalavo, the Levim will have land to cultivate in Mashiach's time. Not like it was in the Bayis Rishon Sheni. Still ha'koyhanim lo yeh lohem achuza k'mo shekasav sham bi'artzam lo sinchol v'chol chedim k'mo shekasav. That's really the name. V'chol chedim v'chol shekasav v'chol chedim yishol l'chol yeh. That's really the next pasuk. So this is the chiddush of the pasuk that the koyhanim will not get land. Pasuk of Tess. Hamincha, v'hachatos, v'hasham, v'kumanos, hema, yoichlum, they will eat it, v'chol cherem, yishon lochem yeh. Cher means kodesh. The word cher means an object of holiness. Among lohem, yeh will be to them. In other words, kodshei kodashim. Let's see, pasuk chavtes in the mitzudos. Chavtes, hamincha, ritzon lomar, shiyorei hamincha. The kemitza is offered on the mizbeach. The leftovers are eden, v'chol cherem, kol ha'akdash, all of hekdash, it goes to them. What is it in Rashi? Chavtes chem l'shoin. It's a l'shoin of kodesh. That doesn't mean l'shoin kodesh. It means this is a word. The word cherim is a word which means kodesh.
By the way,
yeah.
In Arabic, the word haram
yeah.
is used to refer to anything that is forbidden under Islamic law or heresy or.
Well, we use it that we use it. We use it that way as well. In the rabbinic literature, it's used as someone someone is put as cherim. You put the person in cherim, but that's not what it means in the Torah. Lashon Torah luchod, lashon chachamim luchod. In the Torah, it means holy. It's designated. It is designated to the Beis Hamikdash. There's machlokes in the Gemara. Sometimes it means that the Kohanim is their private property, or sometimes it means that it's actually the property of the Beis Hamikdash. Here it means the property that's kodesh. It means actually holy. Kodesh kodesh, which something to eat, the mincha, the karm shlamim, or things like that. Okay, again, lashoin. It's a word which means kodesh. V'chein kol l'shoin charamashu ashohu al hekdish. It refers to things which are very hekdish. Okay, let's see. Anything I wanted to mention over here? No, we're good to go. Okay, next. Pasuk Lamed. V'reish, now we're going to describe all the other gifts that go to the Kohen. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvaro. Amen. To get a cold, right? Pasuk Lamed, Vereshis, Kol, Likune Chol. Now, this pasuk is very, a lot of word chols here. And it's in a reading, I'll read you a very, very interesting Mincha Shai. I never saw something like this. But he writes over here, the question is the trop. And the trop relates to the perish of the words. But the pasuk says simply Vereshis, Kol, Bikure Chol, which simply means Bikurim. Gracious means you allow to give. You're obligated to take the first fruits of your orchard of the shiva saminim and bring them to Eretz Yisrael and give it to put in the basket and bring it to the kohanim. You give it to the kohanim. It goes to them.
Call has no chop. Call has the chop.
So what I have over here? Karm of Yaz Gracious. The first call does not have a chop. Yeah, and that's a komatz. So komatz. Bikure choil.
Komatz has no chop.
Has no chop. Bikure means the first fruits choil. That's a choilum. A choilum. Okay, that the bikurim of all forms of bikurim, which means what do you mean? All forms of bikurim. It's over here. All forms of bikurim. All forms of bikurim, which means the shiva saminim. There are different interpretations. We'll see this in a moment. V'chol terumas kol truma. Okay, truma means you have to give 1/50th, 1/50th, 1/40th, 1/60th of your grain of all different types of minim, all different types of species, whether it's the five minim, wheat, barley, spelt, oats, rye, mikol terumosech, and for all of the things that you uplift, what does that include? We'll see in a moment. Truma smaiser, the levy has to give to the kohen as well. Okay, we'll see. La kohanim yo go to the kohanim, and now we discuss the law of challah. Okay, the challah is a big thing today. They had the big parashas Lech Lecha. They had a big challah bakeathon, right? Everyone's in the challah today. It's a big thing. Vereshit, I grew up. I didn't even know what challah was. I'm telling my ignorance. I grew up most of my what is challah? What?
Yeah,
buying the bakery. There's a mitzvah for us. Challah. What is that? My mother didn't. She shouldn't make challah. We were in the bakery. So okay, it's like a theoretical concept. You mafresh challah. Today it's a big rebbe thing. To be mafresh challah, you go to a tzaddik, or they go to noshim tzidkaniyos. Okay, it's a whole new world today. Challah.
By matzah. That's what
you really see challah. Right? That the halachas are different because you have to have challah after when it's already matzah. V'reishis arisoy seichem, the first of your dough. Titnu la koin, you give to the koin lahaniach beracha. This now is a very powerful pasuk. Challah, this is probably why today it's a big craze. It's all for school purposes. Because laniach beracha el beisacha. You're going to give challah to the kohen. You, the Yisrael, are going to merit beracha, blessing. Laniach beracha. We're going to read some Mamar Chazal. Let's first see the pasuk of Yilam and the Mitzvah Stavit. The Mitzvah Stavit says, V'reishis, ha'reishis, mikol ha'dvarim, kulam, V'reishis, mikol ha'dvarim. Kulam shenis bakru bibishul veheim habikurim, the first of all things that have ripened, which means the shivas aminim. Next, the chol tumas kol kolat tumas kulam bein dagon bein tirush v'yitzar truma. This truma on yayin, truma on grain, truma on oil. Mikol trumos lechem. What's that coming to be marbe? Mikol advarim shatto chayim lahafresh mem truma. Okay, he doesn't really say what is coming to be marbe. Those words doesn't say. Any chazi mafas truma, at least going to the mitzudos, he's not really coming to be marbe anything. Vereishis arisoy seichem chelik lishomei isadov atchloi toich lumena v'yalach chala yoimar. L'aniach b'racha. What does this mean? Dr. Fruchter, welcome. We missed you. I haven't seen you in a long time. Worrying about you. L'aniach b'racha. Ko'aymer. Al yera l'vavchem b'seis kol eila l'hakoyanim. Ki zeyye sibo l'hashroitz b'racha b'veisech v'lo yechzach o'yisher. And pumfakert. Ki oid yosef. By giving the koyanim what they rightfully deserve, it will bring you blessing. And in fact, we hear the way the mitzvahs he learned from the pasuk. It's not going only on challah. That's not like the Maimah Chazal. I'm going to show you in a moment. According to the mitzvahs, l'aniach b'racha el beisach goes on everything listed in this pasuk, which includes bikurim, and includes truma, and includes challah as well. It goes back on the entire pasuk. Rashi says l'aniach is the very Rashi l'aniach French word which means l'aniach
posé, which means to cause to rest.
To cause hifl, to cause to rest. Kuma vayonach, the whole gvul mitzrayim, the arba, the locust landed in Egypt. Okay, so it means it came to rest. It will come to rest. Blessing in your bais. Now here, let me just tell you the mincha shai. You have mincha shai in your edition.
Yeah.
Okay, just now the mincha shai. Now we're not learning mincha shai. I just want to just point out another unusual thing he writes. Chalukim has on the Dibra Maschel the pasuk lamed the chol terumas kol. Chalukim hasfodim zem mizem uviktsasim kasov the chol terumos terumas kol. The way he illustrates here in my edition is the trap.
Terumos kol.
What?
Terumos
kol. Terumos. Okay, so very interesting. You have terumos. I have here in my edition terumas. So what then is the Mincha Shai coming to say? The trap. That's okay. This is my edition. I don't know. Maybe your edition is right.
Not variations of the word itself.
No, that's exactly the point. Not the word itself. And therefore, what he does is he puts a meseg. He puts a meseg between the word v'chol. There's a line. There's a straight line breaking up the two words. No, that's a psik. That's called a psik. I'm sorry, psik. There's a psik between the word v'chol. That's not what happened in the text. In my text, it says v'chol terumas dirzeh. What is that called? There's a line that connects the two. V'chol terumas kol. Between the first v'chol and the word terumas, there is a dash. You have a connecting dash? What is that called in Hebrew? Whatever it's called. A connecting dash. Make up a term. Connecting dash, which puts the word together with the word v'chol terumas. The Mincha Shai says that in some Sfarim, don't do that. That's illegal. That's illegal. Rather, there is a what is it called? A psik. There's a psik, like a munach, munach revi'i. Munach, munach revi'i. There's always a psik between, well, is there always?
No.
I take it back. No,
there's a big space between trumas and
kol. Okay, that's right, because that's for justification. That's
maybe
for,
something
I didn't know. No, that's for the computer justification. The point he's making is he's saying over here very fascinating. There's a fundamental difference. Is the word v'chol connected to the word terumas, or is the word v'chol an independent statement? So you give the kohanim, because no, the problem is we're leaving out things. What are we leaving out? We're counting 24 gifts. There are 24 manos kahuna. What are the gifts that we're leaving out? Reish Hageiz, Zeroya, L'chayayim V'Akeva. Okay, what else are we leaving out?
Pidyon
HaBen. Okay, what else? Anything else? V'Kidashta, Pidyon HaBen. Can you give them to bench? Okay, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things you give the Kohanim. A lot of monetary gifts you give the Kohanim.
But the 25th, says Rabbein Lechayim.
Kosevarchu. So, but Chazal said 24. And he said, okay, that's another topic. But over here, he says over here that in our edition, in the text on the top, the word v'chol is connected with a connecting dash to the word terumas, and he points out, at least in my edition, that in other editions there is no dash.
There is a dash.
What? That's what we have in our text. So the Mincha Shai is saying that there are other editions that don't have a dash that connects with v'chol to the word trumas, but instead has a psik, which completely changes the meaning of the word v'chol, because v'chol then as is an independent statement. So what then is v'chol coming to be marbe? If it's an independent, stop, v'chol, and it gets a trop. You see, when you have a dash, there's no trop. There's no melody. When you have a psik, then it gets a munach, it gets its own melody. And then the word v'chol is coming to be marbe, Well, we have a long list of things that are not mentioned in the pasuk, which are candidates to include in the word v'chol. It can be reish sages. It can be a zroya lechayim v'akeva. It could be pidyon haben. Okay, now that's not the really point I wanted to say. We've heard of v'chol shechichin v'kashchichin sifrei tvei. There are many svarim min telas me'ah shenin. The Isbahon Pluksa Hada. This machlokes is going on already for 300 years. I never saw him say something like this. I try to scan just very quickly when I prepare enough for the shir to scan the Mincha Shai to see anything interesting. And this I never saw. This is an old age machlokes going on 300 years. What to do with this pasuk over here? Is it a v'chol trumas? Or v'chol psik terumas. V'ad ka'an, and until now, b'duch de kaima, nothing has changed. No one has budged. After 300 years, we're still fighting.
When he wrote that.
What?
More, right, exactly.
So
over time, nobody really cares.
So when the Mincha Shai lived, at least 100 years ago, more probably, I don't know when he lived, a long time ago. So we're already up to 400 or 500 years.
Maybe nobody cared. You roll it on.
Okay, but he's saying over here, this was in his day, these things mattered. Okay, this was before people were distracted with the internet. This is what life was all about. The gear size. What else did they do? This their whole life. This is what it was all about. So therefore, an old age machlokes is still finding it ready for more than 300 years, and no one has budged. Okay, now let's go to the next idea. Let's just see the Radak. There's an important Radak here on this pasuk Lamed. The Radak, V'reish is called Bikuri Kol Pri She'amar B'Torah. This refers to Bikurim. Bikuri Kol Asher B'Yaratzam Asher. Thank you very much. Yishol Zef. Thank you very much. Memches. Memdalet. Pasuk Lamed. Lamed. The next words are kol bikuri kol v'chol tumas kol k'moshon b'Torah. Okay, no, I'm sorry. That's not what I made him say. That's not what I want to refer to. That's not relevant to our discussion. Okay. That's it. Okay, let's now. There are Mamori Chazal here. Very important Mamori Chazal. Let me read you a few of the Mamori Chazal. You don't have this. Soon you're going to have it. We get to Treyos, you can have everything that I have. Now over here, this pasuk is the source of a very important halacha, Masechet Bikurim, that a person can make his entire field into Bikurim. When it comes to Truma, there is a halacha. If you want to be very generous, I want to give everything to the Kohen. Everything should be Truma. It's not Truma. Truma, by definition, there has to be leftovers. Maitzer, there must be leftovers. If there are no leftovers, then what you've given does not have the status of truma. However, when it comes to bikurim, if I want to give the entire field, every single fruit on my tree, on my orchard, on my land, I want to give every single thing as bikurim, it works. It works. Very big nafkin l'halacha. It's not tevel. What about the levi? The levi is now going to lose out maitzer rishayim. The ani is going to lose out my ani. So what's going to be? Doesn't matter. It only starts, the chiv of hafrashas, trumais umayishrois, only begin after you give bikurim. Until you give bikurim, there's no chiv. If you want to give your entire field as bikurim to the kohen and the kohen, it works. Tremendous chiddush. It's a tremendous chiddush. You can be mafkia, the din, you can uproot the requirement to give trum and maaser by just giving everything to the kohen as bikurim.
How much?
What is your... Bikurim is a few fruits. Whatever you want. It's your discretion. It's a basket. Exactly. You say every single thing in davin. That's right. I'll pay by bikurim. Exactly.
Is it appropriate for the person to do it because he is hurting the other people? Is it appropriate?
So he has a very good shayla. You're being religious. You're being generous at the expense of other kohanim who would get shuma and other levim who would get ma'aser, and at the expense of the aniim who would get ma'aser ani. That's a very big, very, very big question. Your frumkeit should not lead to someone else's pain.
That coincides with the Rambam. Should someone give $1,000 to one person, or should he give
less to many people. That's the exact
what does the Rambam say? What does the Rambam say?
Less to
less
many people.
Small gifts.
Same thing here also. You become different types of tzedakah. Okay.
So, but whatever the situation, obviously every situation is different. Whatever, but the bottom line is this is a chiddush that you can do such a thing.
It is a chiddush.
Because if not, it does not work. When after you've given, you become now you come to give truma. I give the entire thing, all the leftovers is truma to the kohen. Does it work? No. When the kohen has it, it's not truma. It's tevel, because in order for it to be called truma, there must be shirayim. It's a gemara. It's a drasha. The gemara makes a drasha. There must be leftover. But not when it comes to bikudim. And how do you know that? The Yerushalmi in Masechta Bikudim derives it from this pasuk we just learned right now. It says reishis kol bikurei chol. I'm not sure which word we're learning from. There are two words here. There are two calls. A lot of redundancy. Vereishis kol bikurei chol. So chol is the second word. The second word chol is teaching this halacha that you can give every single fruit you have in your tree on your orchard to the kohen. Next, the next drasha is. Okay, the next drasha. This just comes from the toichacha. Okay, this the end of the pasuk that deals with the laws of chala, that v'reishis ari soy seichem titnu lakoyin loniach bracha el beisecha. It says in the toichacha, very frightening pasuk, v'fgalti aleichem behola. I will visit upon you behola. What is behola? Confusion, bewilderment. A person will be in a state of shock. Things are going to happen, and a person will not know how to deal with current events. A frightening klala in the Teichacha. Chazal Darshan, that why did it happen? Why did a person suffer from Behala? Because don't read Behala Ella Bechala. There's a very small difference between the letter He and the letter Ches. They're both almost identical. It's just that the leg of the hay is not connected to the ches. So therefore, often in Chazal, we interchange the ches for the hay, or the hay for the ches. So it's teaching if a person wants yishuv hadas. Okay, we're not in the business here of teaching segulas. Okay, I'm not a school person. But it says over here that if a person gives chala, chala takes away from behala. That's what I read the whole Chazal. This is Gemara Masechta Yevamos. Okay, then it says Al Tikri Behola Ella Bechala.
Where's this Chazal, by the way?
This is in Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Shabbos Lamed Beis. Shabbos Bavoin. Let me start again the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Bavoin Chala. Ein Bracha B'Mechunas. There is no bracha in the within storage. Umeira curse mishdalachas basha'orim in the gates the prices is inflation. The zoyim zoyim ve'achedim achim, you plant and other people eat. Shenemar af ani eses zos lochem v'ifkarti aleichem behola v'chule goes on all the different curses, and then the Gemara says al tikri behola ella bichala. It all starts. All of these problems start. Because there was a withholding of chala, not giving chala, and that's what it's alluded to in this pasuk. It sounds like a chassidish of art, but the Gemara says this, and then the Gemara goes on to say the nice. Let's say a person does give chala, so not only will you not suffer from these klalas, rachman l'tzlan, you'll even receive bracha misbarchen shenemar. The Gemara quotes our pasuk. Our pasuk that we just learned today, v'reishis ari soy sechem tidud l'kain l'honiach b'rocha el be'secha. This is Shabbos daf lamed beis.
Lamed beis.
And then the Gemara goes on to quote the bracha yivam istav samach beis. You get bracha. So just notice that according to Chazal, I mentioned that point before in the Mitzvot.
What's the second step?
Yivam is samach beis lamed beis. So notice over here that according to the Gemara, when it says here Loniach Berocha El Beisach is referring only back to Chala. When we learned the parish of the pasuk according to the Mitzudos, he was very clear to say that Loniach Berocha El Beisach was back on the entire pasuk.
Isn't there Rashi brings down, I think, by a site that if you don't give the manis kahuna,
the juxtaposition of parasha saita to the laws of the kohanim, if you don't give the kohen what he deserves, you'll have to come on to him anyway. better come on to him by giving him the matanois than come on to his services when you bring, when a person brings his wife to him. Okay, so in Echanami, that's another chazal. Okay, in Echanami, but over here, saying Lodei Brachos, Lodei Brachos, this morning, the Gemara learns that this pasuk Brachos Meisech refers to what? It refers to challah. The Mitzudos, for some reason, he focused on everything in this pasuk. Okay, winding down, last pasuk of this parak. Very fascinating pasuk called Nevelu Treifa Mina Oif Umina Behema Lo Yochlu HaKoyanim. Again, this is one of the psukim they wanted to ban. Okay, they wanted to put Archko out of business, put this whole sefer in Cherim, because it says over here that Nevelu and Treifa from birds and animals may not be my Koyanim, which implies that the Yisraelim can't eat Nevelu and Treifa. Square the whole kashrus business, the whole OU, shut down the whole OU from this pasuk. That, you understand that why they wanted to put this sefer in Cherim until they figured out what this pasuk really means. So what does this mean? In the truth of stuff it says in this pasuk, Allah yoich lakoyhanim perishu razal lefisho chutro lechem malikas chata. So the reason why we have to emphasize koyhanim is because they will be misled to believe they're different. They don't need to be nizer and kashrus. They don't need the OU's symbol. Why? Because they're allowed to eat malika. In other words, what do they offer on the mizbeach? If you bring a chata sa'if, how do you shecht? How do you slaughter? With your fingernail. Where do you slaughter it? You don't slaughter it from the front, from the back. And you press. It's drosa. You violate all the laws of shechita. All five laws of shechita, shehiya, hagrama, drosa. I've got everything ready from your deities, but you violate all the laws by taking your finger and you push it into the back of an animal's neck to kill the poor bird. And then what do they do with it? They eat it. They eat the shirayin. If a person would take an empire, would do malika, it's treif. It's as treif as doorknob. There's nothing to talk about. So yeah, they do this. So therefore they may be, just like in the Beis Hamikdash, we're allowed to do malika and we're allowed to eat it. So we go home, we also can do malika and eat chulin at home. We also do not need to eat shechita. And once we can do this when it comes to birds, no, we can do it when it comes to animals also. They get carried away. The slippery slope. No. Only in the Beis HaMikdash, only on the Mizbeach, only Karbonis by birds, is it in malika, Xeris HaKasif. Why? That's so, I don't know. But that's exception. But when it comes to chulin, there's no such leniency. And that is what the pasuk here is coming to teach you. Of course, a Yisrael is not allowed to eat in the Nevelu Treifa. It's a given. But it means here, it means Koyhanim should not go and get carried away. Perish Razal. Do not be misled. Don't make that mistake. That is not correct. Okay, let's see Rashi. That's according to the Mitzudos. Let's see Rashi. Rashi comes to the same thing. Rashi called the veilu treifa. Lefishu hutra lachem likas chata so'if she neveilu treifa. Hutrach lahasirim al shor neveilu treifa. Also, don't get carried away. Kach perishu rabosinu mesech de menachas. Now, there is, let's see what I marked off here in, the Malbim says come out the same thing. And the Radak, let's see the Radak. The Radak says something important. The Radak says, Kolvelu Trefa, Kamosh Amr Torah, Nevelu Trefa, Lo Yochal Latam Ava, Afal Pisha Yisrael, Gamke Musarim Ulacha. The Radak says, even though the Yisrael were also commanded, Hakoyan Musarim Yoyser, Bibneha Tomam, Lefisha Him Tomid, Bemikdash, Lakach Him Musarim Yoyser, Alatoma, Mi Yisrael, Luch Omar, Lo Yoychlu, do not eat, Hakoyanim. So he's coming to answer the question as well. Okay, before he quotes the Gemara, I don't know why he quotes the Gemara in a moment, but he gives his own answer. The Radak gives his own answer, and he says the reason why we have this pasuk is because there is an additional problem when a koyein eats nevela and treifa. The problem is he becomes tamei when you swallow a bird that's not kosher, that's not been slaughtered properly, and it gets into your neck bebeis habliya. Then the koyein becomes tamei. For him to become Tameh, that's a problem, because he needs to report for duty in the Beis HaMikdash. If a Yisrael becomes Tameh, it's not a problem. He's not going anywhere. He's anyway not going to the Beis HaMikdash to do Avodah. So it's not a big deal. But for Kohanim, it's an issue. So that is why the pasuk is addressing specifically Kohanim. In addition to violating the laws of Kashrus, you also bring upon yourself Tumah, and that's a problem for who you are, what you represent. Then the Radak goes on to quote, the Amar lo yochlu, lo yamav lo yigov, ki yesh nevela shein, the reason why it's do not eat is before the Allah, the reason is don't eat, because if you deal with Tumah, the question is, why does it say don't eat? If you have an animal, that's the not have a kosher shechita, if you touch it, you become tameh. So you don't have to eat it to become tameh. So he says the halacha, that may be true when it comes to animals, but when it comes to a kosher bird, you do not become tameh if the bird has died without shechita. The only way one becomes tameh from a kosher bird that has died without shechita is only when you swallow it. Tumah bebeis habliya, bliya means the swallowing in your throat. So that's why the pasuk says, do not eat. We're addressing the tumah. And the reason why we say lo yoichlu, since one of the items listed here is mina oif, and the way a person becomes tameh when he eats bird meat is by swallowing, that's why we say, do not eat. Ki yesh nevelash enim mitama el bebeis habliya, fi nevelas oif tar. Then he quotes the Gemara that we quoted in Rashi and the Mitzudos. So I was saying, "Zal Amru, v'yishchutro l'chaim malikas achatas oif shinevelu treifa." Don't get carried away. Slippery slope. Yachliu mutanim gamkei b'shar nevelu treifa zichachuz rahalei. That's why we're Musa. Now we have an amazing, amazing gra. Okay, in this dish we have the gra. Soon you'll have it. But right now the Gra says, it says an incredible chiddush. It says, you know why it says called Nevela? The Gra is following the approach of the Mitzuda of the Radak and the Malam that we learned yesterday, that there's going to be a new set of rules when the time of Mashiach comes. The Kohanim are going to be elevated to a new Madrega, a new game, new rules. The Kohanim Hedyotis are going to wear an Avnate, just like the Kohen Gadol. They're not going to be, I forgot the rules, I don't remember, they're going to be a different set of rules. There's certain things they're going to be elevated to do differently. Here is one of the things. When it comes to Nevelu Treifa, they are going to have a higher standard of kashrus. And what does that mean? And this is shocking what the Gra says. We know that the first thing you learn when you take your, you learn your Deya, you go for Smicha, you learn Chulin, is how many simonim do you have to cut in an animal and a bird in order for it to be a kosher shechita. So an animal and every creature has two simanim, the koneh and the veshet, the windpipe and the esophagus, food pipe and the windpipe that goes to the lungs. So an animal, you have to cut the majority of two, roiv of both simanim. That if you do roiv, kosher lechatchila, bird, you only have to cut the majority of one of the two simanim, either the esophagus or the koneh. You only have to cut the majority of one when it comes to a bird. But if you
cut, that one also has to be cut, but not roiv, you're saying?
No, then you cut all together. I don't remember anything. I forgot anything. You don't have to, in order to be a kosher, it's not
when
practical.
You say roiv, you mean it doesn't have to be
roiv of the circumference. Roiv of, it's a tube. You have to cut roiv
through the width.
I mean, through the circumference.
So roiv of the width.
Roiv of the circumference. Okay. Roiv of the circumference. Yeah, yeah. So now, if it's cut beroiv, today it is 100% kosher. There's no doubt. There's nothing to discuss whatsoever. In the time of Mashiach, that's going to will remain the same for Empire kosher chickens, for the Hamoinam. But for Kohanim, they're going to have a higher standard. They have their birds and their animals have to be cut 100% in one shot. All the rules of Shechita apply to Shechita 100%. No Shehiyah.
Even
Chulin, it seems. Even Chulin. Even no Shehiyah, Hakrama, Drasa. All the rules of Shechita apply all the way through. There's no din that a miut is okay by Shechita.
So what happens?
And if you don't have roiv, let's say you only do roiv. See, even though for a Yisrael it's 100% kosher, for a Kohen it's a nevela. It's a nevela. Unbelievable, yeah.
So what happens if Ben Yisrael brings a carbon and times Mashiach and bless Mashiach, and a Kohen shafts only roiv?
It's not kosher, because who has to eat the carbon? Who has to eat it? No, you're not allowed to. The Yisrael, well, if it's kosher, kadosh, yes, you're very good kosher. I don't know the answer. Let's try to analyze your question a little bit better. There are two types of kosher. It's kosher, kadosh, and kosher, kalam.
So
it's who eats shlamim? Yisraelim Yishlamim, right? Yisraelim Yishlamim. Excuse me. So then maybe it would be good. Since the ones that are coming to eat the carbon is going to be a Yisrael, so maybe it would be good. Or maybe do you say that it's over here that's under the jurisdiction, under the location, under the auspices of the Kohanim, even though this meat can be given to the Yisrael to eat, because Kadosh Kalim, maybe it has to be also mishachted entirely. Kadosh Kadoshim, on the other hand, it's eaten by the Kohanim. Kadosh Kadoshim, only by the Kohanim. So then it has to be 100%. Or maybe you could argue, it's still a kosher carbon. The Kohanim can't eat it. No one can eat it. It has to be burnt. But since the Yisrael is the one that is achieving Kapara, so maybe it's good enough. I don't know. But one thing is for sure, there is some application where the Kohanim, according to the Gra, have to require a Shechita with a higher standard, that the Shechita is done through and through. This is a shocking thing. The only one that I saw ever says this is the Gra, the Vilna Gaon. And this is how he learns Pshat in this passage.
How does that answer, just for Rambam? Same Torah,
we discussed this yesterday and the day before. We discussed a very good question. Loitei Torah Mechudeshes. We read the Animamim. It says in the Animamim 9, the Loitei Torah Mechudeshes La'asa Lavan.
So what's the
shot? So the answer is that I think one of the Farshim actually the Malbim actually alluded to this question. And he basically said is that they're not, these are chumras. They're not doing averos. When it says in the Torah, there's not going to be a Torah Mechudeshes, nothing's going to become mutter.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to be matachazer. We're not going to be matter arayos, but new chumras to build upon
not new mitzvahs.
No new mitzvahs, but to build upon pre-existing halachas. Upgrades.
When does the mom write this?
I have to find it. I didn't mark it, but okay. I learned this yesterday. Today,
but that's the pshat. Adding and answering.
It's not. It doesn't. It's not very. It's not 100% satisfactory. But it at least takes away the sting of the question. Okay, so this is a very, very big chiddush of what it means. Las love, it's going to be a higher standard. The miut simanim is not going to be kosher for kain. Okay, another answer, which along the same lines, which I think everyone said, a lot of people say this, a lot of farshim say this. That is a misukenes. What happens if you have an animal that's elderly animal, sick? So if the doctor, the veterinarian says it only has a day to live, it only has 24 hours to live, it only has a week to live. So what are you going to do if the animal just dies? It's a nevela; it goes to waste. It has to be thrown in the garbage. So right away you take out the knife. Right away, if the animal only has a day to live, has a short time to live, so you take out the knife and you do shechita. Because if the animal dies naturally, it becomes a nevela. But if I do a shechita, I preempt its natural death with a shechita, and the shechita is metaher the animal from becoming a nevela, and also it's mutar biachila. So that's called an misukenes. An animal that's a misukun, it's going to die. It's not a treifa. There's nothing wrong with it. There's no defect. It's just reached its time. It's about to expire. It's reached its man. So you can do it. L'chatchila, you can shecht it and you can eat it. L'asa lava kohanim are not going to be permitted to eat a misukenes. An animal that's elderly, that's about to die, this that the common man will right away shecht it and save himself from the nevela and eat it, is in the eyes of the Kohanim, it's called a nevela. This is the way most of the other Farshim learn Lamshan the Pasik, that called nevela utreifa, referring to an animal that is a nevela utreifa, which means that it's old, and now I want to shecht it, in the eyes of the Kohanim, lo yoichlu ha-Kohanim, but the common man can't eat it. Okay, so it's similar to what the Gra says. The Gra also, he says this as well. But the Gra goes a step further, and he says you need the simanim entirely, 100% of the simanim. But this is an idea called the misukenes. Now, touching upon this idea, there's a commentator here in the Mikros Kedoshah. I want to read you what it says. Very, very fascinating. What it says, it's called the Choymas Anoch. He writes over here, you don't have this, but let me just read you what it says.
I think it's from the Chidah.
The Chidah?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Very good. Okay. Thank you. Kosav Harav Moreinu Harav Yoinasan. Rabbi Aviv Yonasan, which is Ahavas Yonasan, who's that?
Rabbi Yonasan
Ibshitz,
if it's referring to him.
Perush, he has a new pshat, another pshat in this pasuk. Dilchemes goig Yisrael mutarim lechol develos. This pasuk, another way out pshat in this pasuk. We're dealing here with Milchemes goig umagoig, and Milchemes goig umagoig, all the rules are lifted. It's pikuach nefesh. Everyone, when you go to war, you're allowed to eat non-kosher, b'pikoch nefesh. No, there's going to be a new set of rules for Milchem Eskoy Gumagog. Maybe that the common man can eat during Milchem Eskoy Gumagog the packages from the United States Army that they're going to drop down by helicopter, they're going to drop down, right? What are they called?
K-rash.
Which those rashes that you could, which have no hechsher, right? It comes down out of the sky, it's wrapped, United States of America, and it says delicious. You can eat it, and God we trust you, because b'koach nefesh you're going to starve. Not the koyhanim. A Kohen is not allowed to eat these packages. They're not allowed to eat the Velu Treifa. That's what he says. Rabbi Yonis Naibishitz. That's what it says over here. Perish the Muchem Eskoy Yisrael Mutarim Lechol Nevelos. They can eat Nevelos Yisraelim. Kemosh Shekos Rambam. The Rambam says Beferish. At time of war, you can eat non-kosher. The Muchem Mutar. But the Pasuk here is teaching us Kohanim cannot. Higher standard.
Oh.
They'd have to drop that out of the sky. Animals, parachutes shouldn't get hurt. The way down.
Mechemes mitzvah. Mechemes was just only about
mechemes
mitzvah.
Mechemes goy gemugas. I don't know if
I,
whatever it is.
Yeah.
The koyin aser k'shem she'aser. Now he writes something very very chiddush. The Rambam says a something shocking, and this is why I'm quoting the koyu that this halach we have on the Torah in Parashas Kiseitze a yafas toya. He said, "Say la mulchama v'riisa b'ashivya eishes yifas toya." Can I say yifas toya? So who was allowed to marry yifas toya? It says that David, he married 400 of them. That's what it says. David, his best soldiers, he had four. Avshalom was an eishes yifas toya. Adoniah ben Chagis. Adoniah, the last six parsha was the daughter of yifas toya. Avshalom. So Chagis, who is Chagis? He had 18 wives. One of David's 18 wives, her name was Chagis. Who was she? He was Eishes Yifas Toya. David went out to battle. He saw this woman. He wanted to marry her. He tied her to the doorpost. He shaved off her hair, cut her nails. She sat there for 30 days. She cried for father and mother, and he married her. And who did she have? She had Avshalom, was the Bechor. And who was the second son?
He was a rebel. Huh?
He tried to kill David. Right. Who was the second son? Chagis. Adoniah.
He also was a rebel.
Adoniah. He tried to take the throne from Shlomo. Wow. So, and Chazal say, and they told David, you got what you deserved. What do you make out of this? It says the Torah, it's mutter. Read the next parasha. The next parasha is Aben Soirer Umoirer. So, Gemara in Sanhedrin. I didn't know the smichus of Pesukim. I didn't know how to know. The Gemara says, this was the only one he married. He took 400 of these women and had 400 children. And these 400 children, they were his Navy SEALs. That's what it says. They were the elite, the Navy, the Ranger, whatever they call them. These were Team One. These were the Spitz. This was the best of the best. These soldiers, they all were children of Eishes Yifas Toya.
Why didn't they rebel?
What? Why didn't?
We don't hear anything from them.
It's not enough. Okay, I don't know. They did.
Didn't they join the army against?
They joined the other army.
What?
They
Shlomo.
They were the ones who joined. The Chamishim Ish Rasim Lefanov, there were 50.
Yeah, it says 400 also.
I don't know. Could be. So it could be they did rebel.
Oh, they joined with.
They joined with Chagis. Okay. Oh. So the Rambam says a Chiddush. The Rambam says the only reason why David was allowed to marry was because David was not a Kohen. But a Kohen is not allowed to marry an Eishes Yifas Toya.
Uh-huh.
This heter in the Torah to marry an Eishes. I doesn't say that. It's a zayna for Yisrael also. A zayna is not a good thing also for Yisrael. So it's a special dispensation by Muhammad. This dispensation did not apply to a kohen. Where does it say that in the Torah? Nowhere. Okay. Doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. For the Rambam to say this is a chiddush gadol. So he quotes over here the kohen with the Muhammad, the Muhammad motor. The kohen aser k'shem she'aser b'yifas toya. So he says that the same way. So here he says, Rebbe Aibisha says that the same way. I'm sorry, not the Rambam. I'm sorry. The Yonis Aibishitz says this, that the same way a Kohen cannot, this pasuk here says that it's Shas Mulchama, a Kohen is not allowed to eat non-kosher food.
Right.
So just like a Kohen is not allowed to marry an Eishes Yifas Toyar.
Yeah. I mean, just like, how do we know that? It's like as if we know. Because also, because also,
v'asoy ad kan dvarav gifi harashum b'likutai. That's what the words of Rabbi Yonis Eibeshitz. What it says here, then the sefer called Chaimus Anoch Chida says the kasha, because the Rambam beferish says not like this.
Right.
The Rambam pasuk krav the koyin mutar b'yifas toyar. The Rambam says a coin is mutter be'eshes yifas toyar. So therefore, there's no precedent to go say that this pasuk chafches that we just learned refers to milchemes goy gumagoy, and to say that it's teaching the milchemes goy gumagoy hanim are not allowed to eat nevelos. You're not allowed to eat a nevela at the time of milchemes goy gumagoy because there's a precedent. Just like a kohen is not allowed to marry a shifas tayar, there is no precedent. Your legal precedent is non-existent. Can you imagine you go in front of the Supreme Court and you make up a ganze drasha and you quote all these cases, all these citations from all these previous in this maisa and that maisa, and all the judges are mesmerized. Wow, this guy! And then they go and tell the judge, this guy's the biggest faker. all of his sources don't exist. So the only source that he's quoting over here, a source of this halacha, doesn't exist. This is the kasha of the Chaimus. It's very interesting to say such a chiddush. So the bottom line over here is a lot of chiddush in this pasuk over here. What this pasuk means, again, because the pasuk over here is very misleading, because like five or six perushim. Because this pasuk wanted to put the whole sefer Yechezkel Chayim because of this pasuk. Because it seems to say the only one who can in the veil of treifa is only a kohen.
Because of this pasuk, yeah. One of the psukim. Wow.
Is only a kohen. What do you mean a kohen? Yisrael are allowed in the veil of treifas. No one's allowed in the veil of treifas. So we went to a long list of perushim. Among the long list is Malika. We have to give a special ashara because they're allowed to eat malika. Birds have malika, they may get carried away. Don't get carried away. The other answer of the Radak is teaching you tumah. There's a special warning for the kohanim because in addition to eating non-kosher, they're also contaminating their body and they have to be ready for avodah. Another interpretation, the Gra, we're dealing with higher standards, time of Mashiach. Two examples, misukin or the higher standard of the entire simon. Roiv simon is not enough. Another answer, we're dealing with milchemes goygu magoyg. And milchemes goygu magoyg, and the koyim akayanim are not allowed to eat non-kosher food. Let's say there's mamish nothing else to eat. I don't know.
If there's a choice, they can eat the kosher or something that's not trained.
I don't know the answer. I don't. You're asking very good. What are the parameters? Where do you draw the line? They're going to die. I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay. So yesterday we discussed Pavelos. There is also no Israel is not specific pasuk. We derive from the Pavelos of the Kohanim. So this is also not to eat. Would be parallel. Not to eat trifles from the
right. These are new chidushim. According to this approach, that's what we said before. That these are new laws that will apply in the time of Mashiach that did not apply in the Torah. And as Yisrael Zev mentioned, is that how do we deal with the issue when the Torah says there's one of the animamins. There's not going to be any new halacha, no Torah. So we mentioned what we have in the list is that the Malm really answered the question. He says when he says there's not going to be any new Torah means you're not going to take away mitzvahs. We're not going to. It means that we're not going to be matir any avera. We're not going to be matir arayas. Not going to be matir. But chumra also no new mitzvahs. But in pre-existing mitzvahs, there are going to be new halachas of upgrades, which are the things we have over here. These are higher standards. Okay, that concludes. Now the next paragraph, when we start with the next paragraph, I just want to give you a little hakdama. We have to have some diagrams. Describes the nachala of Eretz Yisrael, how it's divided. We have to have it's divided in a very complex way. The chalukah of Eretz Yisrael is batal. The way the land was divided until now, all the shvatim where they lived will be batal. There'll be a new division of the land. What's very perplexing, there's some very fascinating things over here where they quote what the Christians say. Over here in the Farsh, they quote the Christians, they quote Abikarsim, they deal with this because the dimensions that are presented over here are humongous. It's almost as if the whole Eretz Yisrael today turns into Yerushalayim. That's not what it says over here. You have to go do some modern calculations and try to transform amos into feet, into miles. It's like the whole Eretz Yisrael plus Jordan plus Saudi Arabia plus Iraq. The whole Eretz Yisrael today is going to be one big Yerushalayim. Can that really be? It's not. It's not mistaver. So therefore, some want to say that this is not. This is referring to Olam Haba. It's describing the Yerushalayim Shel Maila. That's what some want to say. And some of the commentators, they say, to say such thing is mamish apikursis. This is an approach of the Christians. The Neutrim say such things. And it's not so far-fetched to say, because look at, they're talking over here in their day, 1,000 years ago, look at modern cities today. Go look at Egypt today. So Egypt, it's humongous. It's humongous. It's miles and miles and miles. It takes 3 days to go from one end to the other end of the city, to walk from one end to the other end of the city. So it's not, I'm not sure what you're saying. It's not so far-fetched to say that a technology will advance, that it will not be such so far-fetched to say that that's right, that the size of Yerushalayim will be exactly the dimensions, these enormous measurements that we're going to have here in this next pasuk. And that will leave Yerushalayim for tomorrow. Okay, take a short break. Okay, we'll try to continue as long as